Corey awoke from the fog of sleep. She had the flu and was fevered. What was the noise on the landing? Perhaps it was another drill, she thought, as she saw feet disappear through the opening in the wall. The Ten Boom family was hiding Jews from the occupying German army. But it wasn't a drill, and Corey and her family were questioned and arrested. It turned out that their hiding of the Jews had become an open secret in the city of Haarlem in the Netherlands. Both Corey and her sister suffered much during their time in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück. One instance involved the open showers the women had to endure and the guard who stood and leered at the women. It was just one of the many indignities that the women had to endure. Betsy was struck in the face one time by a guard with a riding crop. Bleeding, she cried out to Corey, "Look to Jesus," because Corey had picked up her shovel to attack the guard. Another early incident involved the sparse barracks and the hours they had to remain standing. These women were paraded out early, early in the morning and had to stand sometimes for hours before they went to work. And then they worked all these incredibly long hours, and they were made to stand for a long time before they were allowed to go into the barracks, and what they were being fed was just almost nothing. So Corey says this, "Betsy," I wailed, "how long will it take standing here?" "Perhaps a long, long time, perhaps many years. But what better way could there be to spend our lives?" I turned to her and gave her a stare. "Whatever are you talking about? These young women, that girl at the bunkers, Corey, if people can be taught to hate, they can be taught to love. We just need to find the way, you and I, no matter how long it takes." Well, after Corey was released, and she was released, and it was actually a clerical error, her sister had passed away. And I think I've got my notes out of order here, so just bear with me. And I'm using notes because if you know me, I can go down a rabbit hole very quickly. So Betsy died at Ravensbrück, and Corey was finally released. Later, it was revealed that she had been released due to a clerical error. She had been on the list to be executed. After the war, Corey went back to Germany to help people recover from its devastation. It was there that her sister's example and the Lord's command to forgive was really put to the test. I continue to speak partly because of the hunger for Betsy's story. She seemed to increase with time. I traveled all over Holland, to other parts of Europe, and to the United States. But the place where the hunger was greatest was in Germany. Germany was a land in ruin, cities of ashes and rubble. But more terrifying still were the minds and hearts of ashes. Just to cross the border into Germany was to feel the great weight that hung over that nation. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him. The former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of the actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein," he said, "to think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people the need to forgive, kept my hand by my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing. Not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed the silent prayer, Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. My shoulder along my arm, through my hand, I felt a current seem to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang love for this stranger and almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love itself. Got a few statements, quotations. I just love these things that Corey has said. Many of you know them. And if you've never read the book, The Hiding Place, I want you to get it and read it, especially you young people. Read about these incredible women of faith. From Corey's experience comes rich wisdom. I have experienced his presence in the deepest hell that man can create. I have really tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Some things are unforgivable. That's the only time forgiveness means anything. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Love is larger than the walls in which shut it in. This is one that's going to be familiar to all of us because we've experienced it. Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find that the prisoner was me. I discovered that the hiding place, and that's the title of the book, was in the will of God. We can hear the echo of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Will you pray with me? This is Corey's prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you that we must come with empty hands. I thank you that you have done it all on the cross. And that all we need in life or death is to be sure of this.